Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, midnight, there it is. Taylor Swift. Now, Bergman, you're going to shoot this whole thing down, right? Taylor Swift at halftime of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I have no interest in it whatsoever.
What do you got against T-Swizzle?
I have nothing against her. I have no interest in seeing her.
But
I don't know who.
Is there evidence against it? I thought you told me there's evidence against it that she's denied.
Oh, yes, I am going to. Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking me. Oh, see, this is why I'm
up. I could care what you like.
But yes, TMZ is actually reporting that she has already turned it down.
Oh, wow.
She's not going to be doing it.
No T-Swift. No T-Swift.
No T-Swizzle.
Weird showdown yesterday on TV here in Los Angeles. John, this is kind of your bailiwick,
okay,
so why don't you set her all up?
Here's what happens. And this is why I always laugh when TV stations kind of market people as, like, your family. Like,
right.
They say, our family to your family.
Yes.
TV stations and radio stations, for that matter, are not a family. People get other jobs. They leave.
Sure.
So Lynette Romero has been an anchor at KTLA at Channel 5 for over 20 years.
Wow.
And she got another job. I don't know where it's at.
I heard it's at NBC.
Okay. So she's leaving to go to another station. And when they found out at Channel 5, and this happens a lot in our business, they basically said, you're done.
Bye.
You're going to a competitor. And they... After 20 years she had been there, they made Sam Rubin read a prepared statement. And this was the way KTLA handled Lynette leaving. This is Sam in the morning.
Some news that we've just been handed here that we wanted to share with you first about a member of our KTLA family. After nearly 24 years, Lynette Romero, our friend Lynette, has decided to move on from anchoring our weekend morning news. KTLA management had hoped she would stay here her entire career, and KTLA worked hard to make that happen. But Lynette has decided to move on to another opportunity elsewhere. Lynette, we wish you luck. We miss you, and we thank you for everything you've done for KTLA and so many friends and fans and viewers. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you and your family nothing but the best. Good luck to Lynette Romero.
So that's a very nice statement.
Right, and I thought was very well... kind of communicated.
Well written, well handled. Yeah. Sam did a great job reading it.
Right.
It was heartfelt.
And that's the way they decided to handle it. Obviously, Sam's boss, the GM over there, handed him that note and said, read this. And I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, he did.
Now, Lynette's co-anchor is a guy named Mark Mester. He's been an anchor at KTLA for several years. He decided to go off script. So when he came on the air, and normally he has Lynette sitting next to him, he decided to say this.
Good morning, and welcome to the KTLA 5 Morning News here at 8 o'clock on this Saturday morning. Alongside my colleagues, we have Megan Tellis, we have Doug Kolk, and we have Kirk Hawkins. I'm Mark Mester. This is normally the time where we do our 4 and 5 segment. We get to check in with everyone and see how everyone's doing, but obviously things are a little bit different this morning. So I'm going to take some time and ask to speak directly to you at this hour to tell you what it is that happened here on Wednesday. So I want to start off right now by offering up an apology to you. What the viewers experienced was rude, it was cruel, it was inappropriate, and we are so sorry. I also want to say sorry to Lynette Romero, because Lynette, I love you so much. You literally are my best friend. You did not deserve what happened to you on Wednesday.
Okay, that was not approved by management, and he went on for 3 more minutes.
3 more minutes talking about Lynette, who is leaving?
Correct.
Oh.
He was fired yesterday.
Okay.
Does the punishment fit the crime? Are you surprised they fired him?
No, General Manager Mace would probably fire, what's his name, Mester?
Mark.
Mark, probably fire Mark. I mean, the station did a nice thing by reading the statement and all that stuff, and it was all supposed to be swept under the rug, and this happens all the time in our business. It's not a family. It's very cutthroat. If she's leaving to go to NBC, understand why they don't want to put her on Channel 5 to promote whatever her next job is. So in my world, I understand why they fired him. I mean, he seems like a nice enough guy, but I understand, and it sounds like he's friends with Lynette, but I think you've got no choice but to fire him.
Well, and this is why a lot of times they don't let people on the air after they're leaving. because you can't control what they're going to say. And like I've said a million times, the hardest thing, and Mark found that out, the hardest part of any job is doing what your boss wants, especially mm-hmm. when you disagree with it. And he clearly did disagree with that. So I feel bad for him. These jobs are really hard to get.
Sure.
But he's going to be hard pressed to find another gig with
you
this
think so?
On his resume. Yeah, I do.
Is he any good? Is he good?
Yeah, seems like it to me. Yeah. But I mean, it's just hard if you go rogue like that. If that's your reputation, that you're kind of a loose cannon, it seems like that's going to follow you.
Well, let me ask you this. When Mason, we just signed new contracts. Thank you very much to the powers that be. All hail
right.
ESPN.
Yeah.
But do you think that, let's say it's going to end. Let's say at the end of the 3 years it's going to end. Do you
yeah.
think they'll give us a last show?
I don't know. I think if we're going to another station, probably not, like Lynette was.
But if we're going into the sunset?
I mean, I would.
Yeah, I would too.
But, you know.
I've had last shows, by the way, everywhere I've been. If you're a good soldier, they'll give you a last show. Now, this was an unusual circumstance because it sounds like she was going to another station.
Are you playing the Sleewet sunset music?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They're going to ban us. They're going to ban us to the evening. Our last show will actually be on the Culture Pop podcast. I think that's where people will have to find us.
That show's not going anywhere.
Would you co-host the Culture Pop podcast with him and Sue?
No, I'll answer that. No.
I don't think that job is open. I've been.
Yeah.
I've been on
Sue.
That show.
Yeah,
no. I've been a guest on that show twice.
No, John's going to he's going to wind down his career calling Laker games.
Well, you never know. They could fire me.
Come on.
They I mean though if this Mark Messer thing proves, you know, you don't always see it coming. You know.
True.
I always wonder. We're working without a net for 3 hours every day.
Correct.
I'm surprised we haven't been fired yet. Well, I did once. I got fired once, but I'm surprised for the most part we've been doing this 20 plus years. You'd think we would have stepped in it more often than we have, you know?
I think we're in the fairway a lot of the time, don't
yeah.
you?
But still, I mean, it's like TV news, where I came from, is very, very scripted. What got him in trouble was he went off script. You and I are off script every single day.
There is no script.
Right.
I talked to somebody about this when they're doing a Broadway show. You know, they perform the same show every single night, and they do it 8 times a week. We do a completely different show every single day, and in some ways, that's actually harder than just doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, that was Cranston, right? He gave me
that
same,
was Cranston.
He gave
yeah,
me the
Cranston.
Same thing, yeah. He, and by the way, I have great admiration. Like, the best play I've ever seen in person is when he did Network.
Yeah,
and
great.
I still don't know how he was able to convey all the different emotions. Like, he curls up in a ball and starts crying when he has a nervous breakdown, like mm-hmm. actual real tears. He goes from, like, being a pompous anchorman to being a shell of himself to going, like, losing his mind on the air and having a nervous breakdown, all in the same show. And I don't know how you can, like, do that 8 times a week. That'd be really hard for me. But you and he said, when I told him that, he said, well, I don't know how you and Mason come up with all that crap.
It's true. You know? It
he
is
goes,
true.
You're coming up with fresh stuff every single day. So there's different skills to it. But the mistake that Messer made was by the way, in the 3 minute rant, the part I didn't play, he calls out the GM by name.
Oh yeah, no.
Which
no,
is kinda no. like every
if
GM.
If he would have stopped right where you cut off, I would say, yeah, that's you can get by with that. I'm saying goodbye.
You probably get a week for what you did. But then when he went 3 minutes and put a picture of the GM up and called the GM out by name, good night. Very hard to come back from that.
I just got a text from the next room. I mentioned the air conditioning has been on and off today. Juan says, tell John Ireland he would love it here because it's an effing freezer.
Oh, I like it.
Get out of my house. Go back to the studio.
Yeah, well, Monday, right?
Winky face. Yes.
All right, Amanda has weighed in.
Oh,
she
good.
Said, you guys can have a last show, but I probably won't be here. You guys, I'll be gone before you guys. That's a race to see who can last the longest.
It is a game of Survivor.
Yeah.
Radio is a big game of Survivor.
That's true.
We've been on the island a long
time. We've been lucky. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, very lucky.
That is, I consider this run to be very, very fortunate.
So it is it was interesting. It was Bill Murray's birthday this week,
right.
72 years old.
Right.
You know whose birthday it is today? Also 72? Bruce Springsteen.
No kidding.
72 years old. Now, I saw Springsteen in Jersey once, and I saw him at Staples Center on opening night. Those are the two times I've seen Springsteen. You've seen him more often than
yeah,
I
Yeah, I've seen him probably four or five times. I saw him at the Sports Arena. I saw him when he opened Staples. I went to see Springsteen live on Broadway.
Right.
Which was really good. He makes an interesting point. He goes, I'm considered the patron saint of the working man. He goes, I've never worked a day in my life. He goes, I've been in this band since I was 17. He goes, it's interesting that people consider me that because I've been a musician. I think you can count the amount of times on one hand that Bruce has ever worn a tie.
Yeah.
You know, he's just had this unbelievable life. But he's the thing about Springsteen. And by the way, who is this in sports?
Who is?
What I'm about to say.
Okay.
What Springsteen is, his legacy will be, he empties the tank every single performance.
The first name that came to my head was Kobe.
Right. I thought the same thing. He doesn't leave anything. He gets out there. I mean, his concerts were legendary. They started at 7:30. They went to midnight. No breaks, no warm-up band, no backup. No, I mean, he's on stage from 7:30 until midnight.
Yep.
Every single time. And so you know you're getting your money's worth when you pay to go see Bruce. Yeah, Kobe's gone. He passed away. So
right.
I'm trying to think, is there anybody that fits that description now?
Leaves it all on the floor.
That if you know you go to see somebody play. Mm-hmm. LeBron's pretty close.
Yeah, LeBron is right there.
I'm trying to think, in football, would it be Aaron Donald? Would it be somebody on defense? Somebody that
somebody who overcame injury.
J.J. Watt, maybe? I mean, I don't know. In baseball, it would prop, you know, the
well, it guy, was Ripken.
Yeah, the guy. Well, the guy that jumped in my head is Scherzer. If you ever go to see Scherzer pitch, he's just dialed in and
except during the playoffs last year. For
well,
us.
He did got a dead arm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a hard thing to find in entertainment. Somebody who empties the tank every night.
Bergman, do you have anybody in sports that falls into that category?
I would think somebody that's like a wide receiver. Someone like a Hunter Renfrow or Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp's like an Energizer bunny who's going all the time.
I'll tell you, you know what comes
to mind?
He can't
be a football player, though. There's too much time in between.
No, well, like Lawrence Taylor, when he played, yeah, had that reputation that he was like running around like you know, just crazy the entire time he was out there.
So.
You know what it makes me think of? One name, Ray Rushel.
Oh,
Ray
God.
Rushel you're is a 49-year-old he's a, college football
who doesn't
freshman
know when to leave
North Dakota
the college
State.
Party. He's out there trying to pick up college girls when
I am
he's 49.
Keep Ray Rushel. He's married with two kids. I'm going to keep Ray Rushel alive on this show.
Yeah, well, good luck. You and Ray Rushel can go to the college parties and hang out by the keg and do beer bongs with the 20-year-olds.
You are projecting a lot. I honestly want Ray Rushel on the show. Bergman, I honestly want Ray Rushel on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Do I need to book Ray Rushel?
Of course you do. It's a guest. Bergman hasn't booked a guest in 17 years.
So you want me to book 49-year-old college football freshman Ray Rushel from North Dakota State University?
No, I don't.
I'll give you $5,000 if you do it.
Well, what's the time? What's the timeline? How long is he out?
Next week. He's got next week.
He's got all of next week, Mace. All right. He'll give you $5,000 in mythical money if you book Ray Rushel.
I think he's in the book.
All right. Good luck.
He probably is.
Good
Just look
luck.
Up Mr. and Mrs. Rushel.
Yeah. The Rushels. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, brand new song. By Tenacious D about Giannis. Did you hear it?
Wait a minute. Is Tenacious D the band that Jack Black is in?
Yes. Yes.
No, I haven't heard it.
Okay, so we got a little bit of that coming up. Plus the salaries of some of your favorite sports people. I want you guys to take a guess how much each of these people make according to the internet.
Now, are these people that work in sports, or are they sports casters? Like
some of them are play-by-play, some of them are sports casters.
Okay.
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 And a lot of them, there are some former athletes, or some former, like, I'll just throw one out there just as a tease.
Okay.
Let's throw out Not him. Not him. Rodney Harrison.
Okay.
Who's at NBC now. We'll do that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Friday. Wake up. Got a big football weekend. USC tomorrow at Oregon State.
Who is this, Jorge?
Tenacious D.
Oh, this is the Tenacious D song.
This is just a regular one. This is the Pick
this
of Destiny.
This is a regular Tenacious D song.
Oh, okay.
He's great.
So,
I love
Jack
Tenacious
Black
D.
is the guy.
Right.
Who I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, he was one of the best. When Michael and I used to have people up for third chair, he was great. He was one of the best people we ever had up there. We used to bring, when the Lakers were bad for 5 years, in the second quarter, we would bring celebrities up from the stands to do the game with Michael and I. And Jack Black was fantastic.
Why don't you do that anymore?
Well, because they're good again. But, you know, we hope. But it was a way to kind of provide entertainment in a game that the Lakers weren't winning. Now we're hoping they win. But if they have an off year, we might.
But we got great moments like Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Boom Goes the Dynamite. That was Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber was a classic.
Yeah, Kaylee Cuoco came up there, who's now...
Oh, nice. She's big.
Yeah, who's now doing it.
The Flight Attendant. Did you watch The Flight Attendant?
I haven't, but I heard it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. All right, so Tenacious D is just a goof.
You want to hear the song that mentions Giannis?
Yeah, let's
All right, here it is.
Cage, we're Lakers for life, but there's one player... Don't matter what team he's on, f***ing love him. You know why?
Oh,
yeah, we forgot to dump
out
that.
Of that.
Okay, well, we didn't know he swore.
Had no idea he swore.
All right. Yeah, well, we'll clean that up.
We missed that.
Yeah,
we missed that.
We'll come
Thanks,
back.
Funchy.
We'll come back to that.
What are you going to do? It happens.
Could be our last show today. We were just talking about last shows. That could be it.
All right, so I was going to do some of this, and I will tell you that this is from a writer named Abby Bakke.
Hi,
Abby Bakke, who's a media kind of critic writer. So she put together some salaries of some famous sports casters and sports personalities.
Okay.
And I want you to take a shot at how much these guys are making.
Okay.
Per year. Remember, the price of announcers has gone up.
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy.
I'm going to say $8
million. $16 million a year.
Wow. I was
16?
I got to half. What?
$16 million a year.
Okay.
Kurt Menefee, who's the host of the Fox pregame show.
Well, my initial thing was going to be $2 million, so that's probably low. I'll say $4
million. $3 million is the correct
answer.
Yeah,
$3
million. All right. This is Brent Musburger, who does Raiders games and the Gambling
Channel
and
all
this stuff.
Well, this is his old salary because he's leaving the Raiders. But
is he? Okay. Yeah, his old salary.
$2
million. $3 million a year because I think he has all that gambling interest
and
stuff. Okay, now here's where it gets interesting. We are in New York, the big sports talk show. Well, they're among the big sports talk shows is Mike Francesa. It used to be Mike and the Mad Dog.
Right.
Francesa is still on in New York.
Okay.
How much do you think Francesa is getting for doing his daily sports talk show in New York?
This is probably a little bit off, but I'm going to guess $5 million.
$3
million. Okay.
And by the way, who are our agents?
Yeah.
Seriously. $3
million.
Good for Mike Francesa.
We are not getting $3 million.
No, we are not. Okay, Dan Le Batard.
Like, works for himself now.
Works for himself, has the podcast network, all that stuff.
$1.5 million.
$3.5 million.
Oh, good for him.
And let's do one more. Let's do Howie Long.
$7 million.
$16 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah,
we're in the wrong end of the business.
There is money in doing games and doing pre-games and all that stuff.
You know what that tells me?
What?
We got to get a job at Fox.
We're all those, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. All the big money.
What are we doing? You just signed. Stop it.
Oh, yeah, we just signed.
That doesn't mean we can't moonlight on the weekends at Fox. That's like, Howie Long.
Absolutely does.
Howie Long only works Sundays, Greg.
Right, but you cannot moonlight at another station.
At five, TV?
You can. TV we could do.
Oh,
it.
I guess
sure.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah, we could.
All right, go ahead. Have fun.
All right, John, I wanted to get something that that Bergman got worked up about today, and I know you're going to get worked up
about
good. Too.
Okay.
George Klavikov.
Yeah, the Pac-12 commissioner.
Klavikov. Yeah, something like that.
I think it's Klavikov, but I'm guessing. You might be right.
So everybody knows UCLA and USC are jumping to the Big Ten.
Or are they?
In the case of UCLA, the Board of Regents is driving a tough bargain. So, for example, if you're the state, the taxpayers of California pay for UCLA. I'm going to simplify this.
Okay.
Is that fair? The taxpayers of California
they're
pay.
They're a UC school. They're part of the UC system.
Now, UCLA is going off to the Big Ten where they're going to make much, much more money. Now, George Klavikov and Gavin Newsom and a bunch of state people and Board of Regents and all that stuff are saying, well, wait a minute. We pay to keep your doors open. You don't get to just up and leave. Do you think UCLA has got the right to jump to the Big Ten?
I do, because their athletic budget is in turmoil. It's hemorrhaging. They had that bad.
Is that true?
Well, they had that bad Under Armour deal that fell through.
Right.
You know, they've lost money. They've had to pay all these coaches. You know, they're still paying Jim Mora and
Steve Alford.
Yeah, it's been mismanaged, and it's been a money loser. And so this move to the Big Ten puts them in the black and gets them hundreds of millions. So for that reason, I think it's almost a no-brainer for them to go. On top of that, the Pac-12 is like the Keystone Cops. They cannot get out of their own way.
Right.
Every other conference has negotiated circles around them in terms of TV contracts and bowl games and everything. I mean, Larry Scott was bad. George Klavikov appears to be son of Larry.
Son of Larry.
Yeah, they can't get out of their own way. So I, as a UCLA grad, I'm really hoping they do go to the Big Ten. But having said that, Mace, if they made this decision to go to the Big Ten and they didn't have the right to do it, like they didn't check with their attorneys and check with the people, then somebody deserves to be fired.
See, what I assume is going on, John, is that so UCLA is going to make gigantic bank, right?
Right.
And you mentioned the UC system, athletic departments struggle, whatever. So isn't the state just driving a really tough bargain on UCLA? In other words, if you're a UC school and you go to the Big Ten and you're going to cash in on $100 million or whatever it is, the state deserves a chunk of that. I assume that's what's going on, and I think probably the state is owed a chunk of that, since we're the ones, every time we pay taxes, one of the things it goes to is funding the UCs.
Right. I would have no issue with that. If this is about making a larger financial settlement before you go, and they're just flexing their muscles, I'm okay with that. But I think if they were to block them, if the UC system were to block UCLA, that's stupid, because UCLA can make a fortune going somewhere else. And you know, if someone can better themselves by leaving you, and you keep them there just to keep them there, I mean, that's bad faith. If you got another job tomorrow to triple your income, and that was the end of Mason and Ireland, I would completely understand. I would say, and by the way,
well, I did that. I did do that once.
Yeah, and I was happy for you. You made a ton of money.
Yeah.
But if the UC system blocks them from what to me sounds like spite. Like, you can't leave us. And, you know, like Klivikov trying to make the argument, well, you know, UCLA can make more money if they stay in the Pac-12. Oh, really? Your two biggest schools are leaving. You haven't been able to negotiate a TV deal that makes sense in 20 years. You're the worst-run conference in the nation. Why would anyone want to stay at your club? Why would anyone want to be on your team? If you're keeping them there just because you think you can legally, rather than allowing them to better themselves, that's horrible. You shouldn't do that. And I hope UCLA gets to go. If this is what you say and that the state just wants a cut of this big multi-million dollar deal that UCLA is getting, I can live with that. But I'd be mad if they blocked them. Bergman,
I don't
wouldn't
think
you if they blocked them?
I don't think they'll block them. I think that they're trying to get their pound of flesh.
Well, so you think when they mention blocking them, it's just a scare tactic?
It's a negotiating tactic. That's what
yeah.
I think.
But if anybody was going to do it, the Pac-12 would be the one to block something like this.
Yeah.
Well, because in this case, it would be the state of California would be the one.
Well, with the Pac-12 is using the state of it's soliciting Gavin Newsom and the regents to as their hammer. They're
right.
Just trying to keep them. What it reminds me of, Mace, is like if you know a couple that's married,
yeah,
and one person, the man or the woman, has checked out. They have no interest in being married anymore, and the other person says, "Nope, not letting you go." You know, you said we were married for better or for worse. I'm not giving you a divorce. In the long run, you're just hurting yourself. They don't want to be there. Why would you want to keep somebody there that doesn't want to be there? UCLA doesn't want to be there, and they should let them go.
Yeah, I agree. I just think I think it's probably negotiating. I mean, I think UCLA is better off in the Big Ten. USC obviously better off in the Big Ten. So, you know, I think it's all going to happen. I just think it's, you know, the state is trying to get some dough out of it, I think. John, criticism of you in the mafia today.
Shocking.
Interesting.
Negative.
Interesting. Yeah.
The mafia has turned negative. Wow. I am surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you've probably got a little bit of a sense of humor that will entertain this. We'll do that coming up. Plus, we do have the Tenacious D song. We got that cleaned up. So stay tuned for that. And coming up for you is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, there's Taylor Swift again with Midnight. Not sure I'm buying that she's not the Super Bowl halftime show. She does sing Midnight a lot, as Jorge points out. All right, so speaking of music, Tenacious D, who is Jack Black. And is there somebody else in Tenacious D, or is it just Jack Black?
I think there's two guys, but Jack's the name.
There are two guys. It's Jack Black and Kyle Glass.
Okay, there you go. And they were goofing around on stage, and they ad-libbed a little Giannis Antetokounmpo song. Go ahead and hit it.
All right, so this is clean?
It's clean now, yes.
All right, Jorge, I'm playing it, but it's not. Okay, do you want me to turn this off now?
Heat, we're Lakers for life, but there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, I love him. You know why? He's incredible. Can you guys make a song? I'm going to sing and just follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, 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 MVP. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. Yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. We love you. All right, we got to work on that.
You know,
there you have it.
Okay, Mace.
Yo.
Giannis is one of the answers of people that empty the tank every night.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's out there like playing both ends of the court and leaving. He's a candidate for the Springsteen Award. As a guy who just literally empties the tank
every night.
Leaves
it all out there.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I think if there was a draft in the NBA of like, okay, we're all starting a new league and everybody's a free agent, he'd be number one for me.
He would be number one?
Yeah. Who would be number one for you? Now, keep
number
in mind,
one overall,
it's got to
be. It's for the future?
Yes, for the next 10 years, let's say.
Next 10 years.
10 years ago would have been LeBron. But yeah, LeBron probably has 2-3 years left.
I'd probably go Luka.
Yeah, you got to watch his weight. But he'd eat donuts with you. You guys would be fast friends.
Yeah, me and Luka.
Yeah.
Luka bag of donuts. We'd be good together.
Yeah, you guys would be good.
Yeah. So in the Mafia, John, this is what people are saying about you.
Okay.
Okay. You said earlier the Mafia is a cesspool and
well,
blah, blah,
no,
blah.
I think the internet in general, social media is a cesspool, not just the Mafia.
Tim from the OC writes, I'm very disappointed in John Ireland. I like him because he's genuinely a good guy and likes everyone. But did Ireland become no fun police? There's a difference between being negative and praising a bit. If we don't make fun of you, it means we don't like you. You even quote that. That is true.
It is true.
Some gentle goofing.
This is what I would say. Most of the internet is negative. There are pockets of it that where people don't like rip each other all the time. Like this Emma Udoka story is a good example.
Yeah.
The internet's been awful.
Yeah.
It's just been really, really bad. And who was it? I didn't think I would quote Eleanor Roosevelt today, but you remember what she used to say, May? She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So if you spend all your time on the internet and you spend all your time, like it sounds like you spend all your time in the Mafia.
Yes, that's where I tweet.
Eventually they're going to try and make you feel inferior. I just find it easier to not deal with the negativity.
Yeah,
I mean, our show is for the most part pretty positive.
Oh, it's very positive.
I think that other shows here aren't as positive, but I mean, like Morales.
Which show do you think is
Morales
less positive?
Is the king of negativity.
He really is.
Like Morales is probably keeping that Mason and Ireland Reddit page alive by himself.
By himself.
Yeah, on the outside. So, Chris needs to be Chris. He needs to deal in the negative. I will put up with it because I like him, but I don't have to put up with it with people I don't know. If people are just ripping us for no reason, and you want to consume it, go for it.
Nobody's ripping us in the Mafia. They're goofing. They're not ripping.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you get back in studio,
yep.
If you show me how to make it a column on TweetDeck, I'll put it up.
Bergman, it's not a cesspool.
Greg, are you spending a ton of time in the Mafia?
In the Mafia? I go in here all the time. I answer people constantly.
Yeah, okay, I do too. Most of my tweeting is now inside the Mafia.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's people that say things like that they don't like about us, but a lot of people tell us things we don't like.
Are most
about
of those
us.
Things coming from Morales?
No, Boss Amanda.
But I mean, that's just kind of how it works, though, right? You guys tell me how much you hate me all the time. It's the same type of thing. So they latch on.
We hate you more today because you're mailing it in.
Yeah, yeah, you're mailing it in.
No, it's an effing Friday.
But normally, yesterday you were great.
No, thank you.
So there you go.
Today is an effing Friday. I can't do that.
There you go.
Yeah,
there's your excuse.
It is an effing Friday. We got so much stuff on the page here. Like, let me just.
Yeah, we may not get to all of it today.
No,
we have a ton of stuff.
Your friend Bruce Feldman says Alex Grinch, who's the defensive coordinator for USC, may be a candidate for the Arizona State job.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is USC's defense has been good. It hasn't been great.
No, it has not been great. They're giving up a ton of yardage between the 20s.
And so this is a good test for Alex this weekend. Because they're only favored by 6.5. Oh, do I have to rebet my USC bet, Bergman?
You do have to rebet. We've all started all over.
Okay,
by the way, there is a link in the Mafia where you can watch all the bets.
Yeah.
Okay, 10K on USC to beat Oregon State, and I'll lay the 6.5.
Lay the 6.5. USC minus 6.5.
All right.
Got it.
So, getting back to Alex Grinch, I think this, if they were to win this game convincingly and they don't give up a lot of points, because Oregon State's been good so far this year, I think that's a step in the right direction for Alex Grinch. I think, but to this point, like, they gave up over 400 yards in total offense.
Yeah, I mean, I've pointed this out
to Fresno State.
through two games, they've got 10 takeaways and no turnovers. That's not likely to hold. They've made big plays when they needed to make big plays, but they've done it so far. Stanford, I guess, is pretty good, but you know, Rice and Fresno State, you know, if you're not able to bottle those teams up, you wonder what they're going to do once they get to the Pac-12. I would be if I was Arizona State, I'd be saying, who's Lincoln Riley's offensive coordinator? I want whatever is...
No, see, I think you're wrong about that.
Why?
I think Lincoln Riley's offensive coordinator is an emperor with no clothes. I don't even know who it is. Lincoln Riley's calling all the plays. If you watch on the sidelines, Lincoln Riley has a headset on. He's talking directly to Caleb Williams. I think being... This is a lot like being Bill Belichick's defensive coordinator. You really don't have a job. Bill Belichick runs the defense.
Yeah, but I
being
mean,
offensive coordinator at USC is, I mean, it was kind of like.
What's it like being offensive coordinator at USC for Kevin O'Connell, for Matt LaFleur, for Zach Taylor? What's it
you
like
mean at
being,
the Rams?
At the Rams, yeah.
Yeah.
At the Rams, in other words, everybody just wants a bag of magic dust that Sean McVay has created. Why isn't the same dynamic? I mean, Sean McVay is calling the plays. It wasn't Kevin O'Connell. It wasn't Matt LaFleur. It wasn't Zach Taylor. So what's the difference between those two?
It's not. There isn't a difference other than Taylor has primarily been
Thinking of Staley. I didn't mention Staley specifically.
Has been primarily he was a quarterback in college, but he's been a defensive coach since turning pro.
Right. I didn't count him. I counted O'Connell, LaFleur, and Taylor because Staley came out of the defensive side of the ball. But I think, you know, finding the great offensive mind there, that's what I would be doing if I was hiring at Arizona State. I wouldn't be looking at Alex Grinch because the defense hasn't been great, but whoever Lincoln Riley's offensive coordinator is, whoever is training at the hand of Lincoln Riley, to me, that's the guy you get. The same way Minnesota went and got Kevin O'Connell.
Hey, what do you think of this idea?
Green Bay. Yeah.
He's been killing it at Jackson State. Deion Sanders, head coach at Arizona State. What do you think?
Well, if I was Arizona State, I would certainly pursue it because he is a great.
See, I think that's what Florida State should have done.
Here's the thing, though. I think the only reason Deion Sanders has become a head coach isn't because he thinks he's going to be a D1 coach or an NFL coach. I think he's got a commitment to HBCUs, and that's why he's at Jackson State. He may have no aspirations.
But isn't there an Andrew Friedman component to this? Like, if Deion could, we always said, if Andrew Friedman can win in Tampa with no money and those players, what would happen if you got him to a big school with resources? Couldn't you say the same thing about Deion? He's at a school, Jackson State, that has no money and no resources. If you put him in the Pac-12, all of a sudden, you just gave him a lot more support. Right?
Yes. But here's my question with Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders doesn't need any more money.
True. So, where's his incentive to succeed?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it's a fair question.
And on top of that, I mean, I think what he did was he wanted to amplify the messages and the content and the vibe of HBCUs and all the unbelievable work that they do. I think that's why he got involved in coaching. Because you don't see super rich guys that made bank become coaches. I'm trying to think who made bank that went on to become a coach.
Well, Nick Saban keeps coaching even though he's got more money than he'll ever need. Same thing with Dabo. Same thing with Lincoln Riley. I mean, Lincoln Riley has $100 million, but he still seems to be very engaged.
But in the let's take the NFL. Is there anybody that made bank, huge paying guy, big contract, who has gone on to become a coach?
Besides Belichick.
Well, Belichick made it after he became the coach, right?
Yeah. So what you're saying is somebody who is set for life. Well, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was set for life after his run at USC, and he went to Seattle for even more money, and he's still doing it.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call.
But you're right. There aren't many of them. There aren't many of them. So you think – I see where you're going with this, and I tend to agree. You think young and hungry is better than fat and happy?
Yes, I always do. Yeah. I think young and hungry is what wins the day.
Right.
And I think –
So, for example, would if you hired the next hot – assistant coordinator rather than Urban Meyer, that would be your preferred course of action, right?
Amen. I want no part of Urban Meyer.
Because, you know, a lot of ASU fans are clamoring for Urban Meyer.
God, did they not see
Well, a lot
happened?
Of USC fans did, too, remember?
And I said that was stupid, too.
Yeah, when Clay Helton got the job, everybody was saying, well, give it to Urban Meyer.
Give it to Urban Meyer,
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, we can see. He's got a very well-established resume now. All right, coming up next for you is Bobcat Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Andre Iguodala announced on his podcast Point Forward that he is going to return for his 19th season with the Warriors.
Really?
He said, "I'm letting you know now, Steph, this is the last." So how will Iggy be remembered?
As a guy who kind of reinvented his career by agreeing to come off the bench. You know, he was an all-star, an Olympian, and he got to Golden State, and Steve Kerr said, "We're going to bring you off the bench." And he reinvented himself and won four more titles. So I think Iguodala is potentially, Mace, going to get Hall of Fame consideration just because of the way he did that.
Finals MVP.
Finals MVP.
He was a nine-time All-Star?
Let me look. I'm going to look it up. I think Iguodala is a really, really, really
good player. He's a great player, but as a Hall of Famer, for some reason, well, you know, there's that test, how you feel right away when you hear their name in the Hall of Fame. I don't get that with – I could be wrong, but I don't get that with Iguodala.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a little bit like
the Robert Horry conversation.
Yeah, that's true, and it's hard. Like, I think Michael Cooper should be in the Hall of Fame for sure. Iguodala.
So Iguodala took over for Allen Iverson in Philadelphia and was fantastic.
Okay. He was the ninth pick in the draft out of Arizona. He's a four-time NBA champion, a finals MVP, all defense twice, all rookie. He's only been on an all-star team once.
One time on an all-star.
But a finals MVP and a four-time champion. Yeah, you're probably right, Mace. He probably doesn't get into the Hall of Fame.
You need a broader resume. I always think you've got to be, for some stretch of time, the best player on a team that wins. That's not Iguodala in this case. Great player. I mean, fantastic player, as you said, reinvented himself and unbelievably valuable contributor to those four championships at Golden State. And cool that he's coming back, chasing number five. Not a Hall of Famer, but a good addition and good. And he says it's the last one, last time around.
Bobcat.
So BuzzFeed, I can't speak, had an interesting question in an article today. What is a movie that you had no interest in seeing but loved it after you ended up seeing it? Mine is, for example, Day After Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. That movie looked,
that is a great movie.
It's a great movie, but it looked terrible. They put it out there terribly.
Him and Emily Blunt, they're actually making a sequel to that movie.
Right. But it was not...
Can I do a TV show?
Yeah, sure.
Game of Thrones. I was sworn to not watch Game of Thrones, and Mason and Mike Trudell beat me up until I watched it, and then I got hooked. But I had the complete wrong idea. I said, I'm not watching some show about Dungeons and Dragons. And then Mason said, you've got it all wrong. It's intrigue. There's a lot. It's about sex. It's about power. It is about dragons. But then I got hooked and it was great. So that's the one for me.
I'm trying to think, a movie that I had low hopes for that turned out to be great. Nothing comes to mind. I'll double down on Ireland. I did not want to watch Game of Thrones. I didn't watch till season five when I dove into that thing. And by the way, it was Trudell that talked me into it. Trudell is an evangelist, I think, for the Game of Thrones people, because that's the reason I started. I can't think of it off the top of my head. If I put my mind to it, I'll come up with something for the next hour. But nothing's in my head at this. Actually, nothing is in my head.
I'm going to say
all.
Coda for me.
Oh, yeah, Coda's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, nobody expected anything from Coda. Fantastic movie. That's a good one.
Bobcat.
What you got, Jorge?
Okay, speaking of the 90s, Greg and I had a conversation yesterday about Tombstone. I recently watched the movie Tombstone.
Oh, so good.
It still holds up. And then just 28 years ago today, Shawshank Redemption, you know, premiered in movies. What is your favorite 90s movie that you think still holds up today?
Okay. 90s movies.
Again, there were a lot of good movies. Like Goodfellas pops into my head. Isn't that a 90s movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's a 90s movie. Isn't Anchorman a 90s movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you my favorite 90s movie. I love Fargo. That's one of my favorites.
Happy Gilmore. I just Googled 90s movies. Clueless, I liked a lot.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, Mean Girls was very funny. All the Adam Sandler movies, basically, you know, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Waterboy, all those were in the 90s. Boys
Casino
in the Hood.
Casino was in the 90s.
That's a good one. League of Their Own, very good, both of them.
I'm Your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Have you watched the TV show, The League of Their Own?
No. Is that any good?
I don't like it. You know, yeah, I don't care for it. And you know, the other one I'm not watching Lord of the Rings. I tried Lord of the Rings, which is supposed to be great and high production value and all that stuff. I can't get over the elf thing. You know, everybody's an elf. They get the pointy ears. It's just stupid. I can't watch it. It's different from Game of Thrones. The elf thing doesn't work for me at all.
The movie Elf was very good.
The movie Elf is fantastic, and I believe came out in the 90s. So there's another good one.
Okay, so here, Rolling Stone ranked the top 10 movies of the 90s. You ready?
Yep. Yeah.
The Piano, number 10, never saw it.
Oh, that's a painful movie to watch.
Chungking Express, number 9, never saw it.
No, I don't know that movie.
Malcolm X, number 8, very long.
It's a great movie, one of Denzel's great performances.
But these movies, who's picking? Oh, Pulp Fiction, number 5. You like that one. Nice.
I love Pulp Fiction. It's a landmark film.
Silence of the Lambs, number 4, might be the winner. Hoop Dreams, number 2.
Hoop Dreams was good.
And Goodfellas, number 1.
Give Hoop Dreams a shout out. If you are interested in good documentaries, Hoop Dreams was probably the best documentary of its time. They followed, was it two players? One
yep.
that went collegiate and one that didn't quite make it.
Yep.
And they follow their lives, and the result is it's a longish movie. It's probably two and a half hours.
I remember Siskel and Ebert just loved it.
We did it. We did an event at my theaters in Hawthorne where we showed Hoop Dreams, and we brought a bunch of listeners over to see Hoop Dreams. So, yeah, Hoop Dreams is a great movie. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be on my list of the best movies of the 90s, but it's a great movie.
Bobcat.
All right, let's end the week with a Kick It Off the Planet. Tacos or pizza?
Pizza.
You're kicking pizza off.
Well, yeah.
I mean, probably eat tacos. Yeah,
what does that mean, Mace?
Oh, your dad cooks tacos. He did all the catering at the Keyshawn party.
I would just mess it
up. I eat more tacos than I eat pizza. I think I'm keeping the tacos.
Yeah.
I'm keeping tacos for sure. I don't really eat that much pizza anymore. Although I had pizza last night.
Yeah, I need pizza. I'm gonna kick tacos off.
Yeah, but that's an impossible. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, pizza.
Bobcat.
Pizza's like sex. Even when it's not that good, it's still pretty good. All right, that's it, Bergman.
That'll do it.
Well, that wasn't very enthusiastic.
That's it.
Yeah, boy, you are really down today.
Did you want me to be like, that'll do it, guys. Yes. Wow, that was so much fun.
That's what Lindsay would do.
I'm not Lindsay.
Lindsay would be hyped.
She's making fun of how Chris throws to her.
Oh, is that what she's doing?
Yeah.
Well, she sounds hyped.
Yeah, she is. That's the whole point.
All right, coming up next for you, John Idris. Did we talk about James Bond yesterday?
Not a lot.
Okay, Idris Elba says he's out on James Bond. I've got a list of possible James Bonds coming up next. Plus, you found this story. If you lean to your left when you're taking a pill, it works faster?
I read that too. Come on.
We'll do that coming up next. Okay. Jason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.